This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Wow, she's there waiting, and without them, trapped.
We are broadcasting live from the Schnucks in Gravois Bluffs. Joe Schaefer and Earl Jones are the managers here, and we are sampling some of this chocolate milk stout gooey butter cake. Chocolate milk stout gooey butter cake. It's really good.
And it's good for you, Frank.
Yes.
This time of year, you need a little sugar to get a little pep in your step. They've also balanced it out. We've got a little fruit, a little vegetable.
I thought it was kind of interesting that he brought that as soon as you came here.
That was uncanny.
Fruit and vegetables.
Frank's been here for an hour, and there's the equivalent of a gooey butter cake right in front of him. I sat down for a good 60 seconds, and one of the general managers here put down a fruit plate right in front of me.
Very nice.
Very subtle.
Yes.
Very subtle. And Monique, I mentioned this yesterday, that she was a terrible person, Frank.
She is.
And I can say this with confidence because I know she doesn't listen. But when you weren't allowed to eat food, you had to fast a little bit. Of all nights, she made the sourdough bread.
Oh.
Chocolate chip cookies. Did she realize she was doing it on purpose?
Well, she had an off night. She had no commitment, so she wanted to get some of this Christmas stuff done.
Okay.
But I think she probably could have waited till tonight where I'll be at work.
And then Charlie's theory was that you were just, like, snorting the air. like a true addict. You couldn't get away from it.
And my contention is that the New York Times chocolate chip cookie recipe is the best there is. And they're on steroids. They're so big. And the chunks, oh, wow.
So once you were free to eat, did you go back and devour? Or is it off limits? It's kind of like me and the chocolate drops, and Bob Ramsey was eyeing them up, and I said, sorry, Bob, these are for the scouts.
Yeah. She put a couple away for me, so I had some last night. So.
And I heard you talking, Tony La Russa, in the opening monologue. Is he just the best copy out there? He's always a little bit mad. He's always interesting.
Yeah.
Even when you don't agree with him, he's interesting. He's 74, and I joked last night on TV, when he's 90 and in a nursing home, I wouldn't steal his Jell-O. He's just going to always be ready for a battle or a fight. I watched a longer version of the clip. I do think
he was joking with him at the end.
I think they're friends, or they got along well. I think he was mad about the topic, and I think Tony was more upset that it's become a topic, not just Russo, but that it's out. Yeah. Russo was great going back and forth with him and saying, Tony, I talked to a lot of people, not just me, Tony, a lot of people don't believe he's a Hall of Famer.
Even Harold Baines admitted that it helped that he was on the committee along with Reinsdorf. And I think the Al Oliver comparison is very legit.
And well, he said Al Oliver, and then he said Steve Garvey. And Tony, yeah, then put Garvey in. I think that's the problem we all have, is suddenly everybody becomes a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And the game-winning RBI wasn't the best stat for Harold, you know, that he could trot out there. But I just love the exchange, your weak ass, bleep, bleep, you know.
Yeah. I got to tell you, too, is I would not be, like, upset if Steve Garvey got in. I know a lot of people, because Garvey is not one of those, you know, on-base percentage walk guys. But, God, for a decade, the guy played every game, was a winner with home runs and RBIs and big hits. And one, you know, I don't know.
Isn't your blink on him more likely to be Hall of Fame than on Baines? So when somebody, yeah, you know, and Harold Baines, to me, my gut said no, and then you look at it a little closer.
Because he had a game, too. You need a game, and Garvey had that game, game 4, 85, right?
I think
84.
I think 84 against the Cubs. And I think initially on Ted Simmons, my blink was, maybe not. Then I looked closer at it, and I thought, no, he is. Harold Baines, my blink was no, and then I looked closer at it, and I said, it's still no. And it is weird that you have the influence of people who really like you on the panel.
Yeah.
And
it's how that thing is comprised. By the way, we got a text, and I have no idea. I don't even know if I had the guts to ask him, but Whitey may have voted against Ted the last time.
I feel like we could probably look up the storyline. The commish may have reported on that at the time. So I get confused about when Whitey took over, when he changed the roster. He and Simba were together for 1980. And after 80, he made the big trade with Milwaukee.
Right.
So going into 81, so he did have Simmons for a full year.
And there was a famous story about how when he acquired Porter, that there was some talk that he could play Ted at first and move Hernandez to the outfield, but he was afraid that Hernandez would make fun of Simmons playing first base. That was one of the
really?
Wow.
Which I could also see happening.
Yeah. knowing Hernandez.
Yeah, it was probably an accurate read. All right, let's do this. Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, greenville.edu.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
All right, Frank, it hasn't been said officially, but it does seem to be in play that Paul Goldschmidt might hit second. And you heard Mike Shildt in Las Vegas yesterday say he's definitely in the top three. But he wouldn't commit to where? Well, we know he's not hitting leadoff.
I don't want a guy with 30 home runs and 90 RBIs or that potential batting second. I want him batting third. He's the perfect number three hitter. He's on a central casting.
It just feels there may be analytics, there may be numbers to back it up, but doesn't it just feel wrong? Like him wearing a 46. He needs to wear 44 and hit third, okay?
Agreed.
Doesn't that feel – he didn't say second, but by saying he's in the top three, well, we know he's not hitting leadoff. So it's either second or third. I mean, is that just a St. Louis thing?
Who would bat third? I mean, it's Paul DeYoung is not ready to bat third. I like him, Paul DeYoung, as a six hitter, maybe even a five, but not three.
I don't get it. Am I missing something?
No, I didn't like it at first, but after he put Yadi two, I kind of liked it. Now, I know he doesn't have the speed, but he can hit the ball the other way.
But you probably give Fowler the chance.
Agreed there.
Because he does draw walks.
And he's righty-lefty. Yeah. I like the idea of Fowler. Maybe it works. And I understand they're repackaging Fowler for all of us, but we're going to be skeptical until we see it. But his makeup, at least, could be a two-hitter, you would think. And remember, just 2 years ago, we're sitting here talking about Fowler's your leadoff guy. He's your center field. That went down the tank pretty quick. Both things is what he was sold on. And I need to check. Somebody tweeted this, and I don't know. And I haven't looked at the scheduling, but they said Fowler's going to the Cubs Fest, the equivalent of their winter warm-up.
I've heard this, too.
But that he's not coming to the winter. Can we check? Maybe Hoff can check the Cards' winter warm-up schedule.
He's not on the schedule for winter warm-up.
So he's not scheduled to be.
But he's going to the Cubs?
That's what it said.
I don't know if it's a Cubs event or if it's a
like autograph signing. Get paid or something.
From a different company. Like a third company.
Because I don't think they get paid for winter warm-up.
Like your expenses to
basically. No. But if one of these things. Because let's face it, Dexter does need the money. That $80 million contract can only go so far. So if you can pick up an extra $20,000 by signing autographs in Chicago, go ahead and do it.
Got to pay for last night's dinner.
Yeah.
I would say if I'm John Mozeliak or Bill DeWitt, I would grab the phone and just say, the optics on this are bad. We're trying to pump you up. We're trying to reinvent you. I know it hasn't been a great 2 years. Just show up to the warm. It would go a long way. Wouldn't you make
I wonder what
call?
Possible excuse there could be.
Unless it's the same weekend. The Cub thing.
Oh, that's bad optics.
I don't think it is.
Okay.
I don't think it is. But
Brian is probably getting to the bottom of this as we speak.
Yeah, but it's been – Jimmy saw it. I saw it somewhere. People were tweeting at us, hey, how come he can't even show up? And, again, this is not just the B-fib. He doesn't like us. I think it's important for Fowler to kind of win some folks back.
Of course, the way he wins people back is to hit 300, you know, in the first month of the season.
All right, and now that we're
a
week away – removed from the Goldschmidt trade, which was exciting. I think it was a good deal. Bill DeWitt might have been offended that we told him he gave up nothing. Well, what a steal. He's like, well, Kelly was highly regarded. We're like, yeah, Frank and I didn't have him too high on our list. But is it
Luke
enough?
Weaver, your 10th pitcher.
Right. But is it enough? As you sit back now, they still need to get some. But in terms of the lineup, is it different enough? Does he make that big? I mean, have they dramatically altered who they are? I think that's a fair question a week later.
Oh, I think they have.
Just adding him.
Yeah, but I will say this, is the roster is not enough. The roster needs to be completed with some knockout superstar left-handed reliever like Zach Britton.
All right, number two, you are Lance Lynn. Are you confused?
Yeah.
You didn't seem to have any value last year when we all thought you did. I'm pretty sure, and in many conversations with Derek Gould, we talked about him getting possibly a $100 million deal, and nobody signed him. And then he has a crap year.
And then he gets $30 million. Yeah, it's
which
not
I realize is jump change now.
How about career earnings for Lance? Does he have a $50 million contract and a $30 million?
I'd say he's pushing 100 for the career.
Think about it. Lance Lynn's a fine pitcher, but $100 million, wow, that's a lot of money for Lance Lynn.
Well, wouldn't you like to know, how much has Jaime Garcia made at this point?
Oh,
because these guys now, if you're average, you're going to get $8 to $9 million a year just to be in the big leagues. He's probably 50-plus at this point. All right, number three, Frank is Scott Boras.
They do get paid for the winter warm-up.
They do.
Yeah, okay. I was
so like a stipend, a fee, okay, or something like that. Okay.
That's just in from the outstanding former coach at SMET, Greg Vitello. How about that?
So they get a little – I'm sure it's a stipend, plus you get your meals and travel and all that. All right, you are Scott Boras. Are you trolling the Cardinals a little bit? His quote yesterday was
– absolutely he is.
He's really
– I don't remember him having a personality a few years ago. It seems like he's upped his game.
In fact, yeah.
But remember – He said the same thing last year in the offseason, not in that sense that he did it yesterday, but he was always, hey, you know, the Cardinals could use Holland.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's why they have the money.
Maybe I'm a little bit biased because I was a member of the Cardinals, but this is about winning, and it's about a good franchise and ownership. And the reality of it is this franchise is worth billions of dollars, and they're a top 10 revenue team.
I think the fans, who for years probably didn't care for Scott Boras,
love it.
Don't you think he's extremely – isn't Scott Boras extremely popular today?
There's not just one bird on their chest. There are two birds, indicating Goldschmidt and Harper.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love that. And I think Michael Gerst said, I'm not going to get into a war of words with Scott Boras. He also said St. Louis sits on the big bank. He's turning into Don King.
So good for him.
Any chance that will move the needle in the Cardinal offices?
No, the chance of Harper coming here is still extremely low. But I do think the fact that there's nobody out there yet is interesting. And certainly the Cardinals could afford him. So I mean, it is fascinating, too, isn't it? I thought, for sure, I mean, this is his hometown. This is Las Vegas. It's the winter meetings. We've been thinking about this for 3 years, and still nothing.
There was a prominent agent who said the winter meetings are simply an excuse to get out of the house. Like, they don't really get anything done.
Don't inform that to my news director, who I beg to come to that now.
Well, where are next year's? We've said this during the Coveted Hour. Move those winter meetings to Tulsa or Tuscaloosa or somewhere where you have no choice but to get work done. I feel like they're in these great climates. They're just hanging out. They're having fun and going to dinner. And Dex is having people over.
I wonder what, like, do you think they got steaks from Ruth's Chris? Or do you think Mrs. Fowler actually was out on the barbecue pit with Dexter?
I don't know. I heard
That's a great question.
The morning after, they mentioned briefly this morning that there were, Tim said there were a lot of pictures online of a lot of, what was it? Johnny Walker or something.
I did hear them talk about Johnny Walker.
There were a lot of pictures, they said, of some alcohol. That's what was notable in the Instagram.
I'll tell you what, Dexter. You're a hell of a guy.
I'd say it'd be a little dangerous. Especially if I were that big. Would it kill you to hit 200 next year? I mean, that could get really ugly really quick.
Give us a list of teams you'll go to.
Would you take 40 cents on the dollar?
Right.
All right, 5 for Frank. Greenville University, number 4. Do you have a Blues gut feel for Friday night? They are 5-0 on Fridays. It's still a team you don't believe
in.
Wow,
that's a Fox 2 stat. You're such a hockey metrics guy.
Ever since Charlie's been going to these morning skates, we've really had the inside scoop.
Yes, that exclusive 8-second fighting video.
And by the way, Strick can't walk it back because in recent weeks, his Hockey Sense show has been all about the draft and who's really good.
Right.
Oh, he's been focusing on the talent that's in the draft.
Jack Hughes, right?
Everybody's got hashtag lose for Hughes.
Yeah.
So he's shifted to the draft, and now I don't know if he'll shift back to the actual roster.
I will say the one optimistic note for the Blues is that Jaden Schwartz is back. And, you know, none of us are like hockey aficionados here.
Whoa.
But all you have to – sorry about that. All you have to do is go to a game and you watch Schwartz and you just know he's a little bit different. I mean, just the way he handles the puck, how quick and how crafty. And so having that guy return, that does change some things.
God, it's just amazing, though, how often he's hurt. And I'm not saying to pick on him. It's just amazing.
They're odd injuries, too.
Yeah, I mean, kind of bad luck to go with being injury-prone. We've talked to Dr. Rick about that. If you went through his resume, I wonder how many years. I should look at the games played per year.
He's the Carson Wentz of the
NHL.
That's
a good way of looking at it.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, if you say J.D. Drew, that's not fair because –
Drew, you question his toughness.
I think correct. I think La Russa went out of his way to point that out when he would say JD's got an owie or a boo boo or something.
Yeah, or
that
called him. Did he refer to him as Nancy once?
I thought we had dated references. Tony going Nancy Drew.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did or not. That was the great Chris Pelican moment when JD came back with the Braves that next season, and after the book came out, and Chris Pelican went up to La Russa and. Something along the lines. Will it be weird or awkward to be around JD after the things you said in the book? And he said, What part? That was the part where Buzz wrote that. There was nothing for me. And he basically said that was the part where Buzz. I think that was the end of that interview.
You know, it is interesting that we had really gifted left-handed hitting young outfielders in the organization back-to-back who were so enigmatic in J.D. Drew and Kobe Rasmus, and that La Russa despised both of them. Yeah. You know? I told you that one story.
Well, you were going through the battles of Tony. I was at Colby's dad.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah, we didn't even mention Colby in that thing. But I remember, Martin, it's right
was Tyler
about
Tyler Green, or was he just
– he was a shortstop.
I know, but was he just enigmatic, or
no,
was he –
I don't think La Russa had a problem with
maybe
it.
Maybe
no. Poor kid just couldn't
just didn't play,
play
much.
In the bright lights, right. Yeah. But that one time when it was after BP, and we had already done La Russa, and I had gotten a bite from Kobe Rasmus where he actually took a shot at the hitting coaches, or the coaches.
Ooh.
And so then I said, Tony, do you got a minute? I don't know why, but he did stop. And then I asked him the question. I go, this is what Kobe just said. And then he went off. I mean, we aired this bite all three shows, and 24 hours later, he was traded.
Wow. Frank shipped Colby out of town. The best on the Edmonds was when he was with the Cubs, when Tony really nuked him and said, ignore him. And Tony said a couple of things in the locker room, and then we went across and got Edmonds. And he's, oh, really? Is that what he thinks? Well, screw him. Or,
yeah.
And then we went back and said, Tony, just, I mean, we're the worst.
And then that was the night. Oh, no, there was a different time when Tony did not like somebody being booed with the Cubs or made fun of.
With the Bernie showdown.
That was in a paper.
I think the paper kind of mocked
the
Cubs.
The headlines in
I'm
paper.
Not talking to the Dispatch. Remember, right. He would call it the Post. He called
right.
it the Dispatch.
And to Bernie's credit, when it got heated, Bernie's comment was, why you got to put on a big show? Why you got a grandstand?
Yeah.
And he's like, I want them to know that that's not us. And then Bernie's like, well, it's not. It's the paper. It's not you. All right, number five, deep breath for Frank. You are Enos Stanley Kroenke. The MLS is kicking around expansion. When they get to the St. Louis topic, can you rise above it? Are you going to be petty at all? Knowing how they feel about you, will you try and block the MLS at all if you're Stan Kroenke?
Wow.
Remember, you're him. You're not you.
Yeah, I don't think.
He even goes to those meetings probably.
Yeah.
Well, he's considered an absentee owner anyway with that franchise.
Remember the big lie, too, is that Josh took over the Nuggets.
Right.
Took over the Avalanche and took over the MLS. He doesn't really own those teams. They put it in his wife's name, and then the son runs them. But
right.
How about Kroenke Enterprises? Will they have any issues with St. Louis? Wouldn't it be great if the vote comes down and it's like, you know, 23-1 MLS owners for St. Louis and the one against?
I could see that. I could see him going
against.
Would
you do it if you were him? Would you be that petty?
You know, the St. Louis is costing me like $24 million for the PSLs, probably another $100 million for – you know, violating the relocation laws. Yeah, I may. Yeah.
I think he would.
You know who really likes
St.
Louis?
But he has no power. So.
Right. I think what's interesting in all of that is the NFL names that are associated with the MLS. Robert Kraft's son is real high up in the MLS. Isn't he like the VP or helps run the league? And apparently was real close with Dave Peacock. And the Kraft family is really pro St. Louis. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to be an issue at all. And I guess they're meeting today.
Right.
I don't know what the timeline is. Did we ever hear officially that an application was submitted?
No, I haven't heard the official announcement of any application.
We should probably call Danny Mac.
However, I know that the group has all everything set that they want to present to them, and it should be getting to them, I don't know, sometime today or within the next 24 hours.
And sooner better that we know, and only for this reason, the current MLS group here, once I think they get the green light from the league, then they can spend money on drawings and stadium design.
Right.
And we can get some updated renderings because we still have the old. That's not what their stadium is going to look like. So we need the new ones, but you wouldn't spend millions on it until you get approval.
Right.
Yeah.
I want some new drawings.
You're really into the renderings, aren't you?
Well, every time. When you talk about the MLS and you need some video, we go to the same thing.
It's the same drawing.
Them wearing the scarves, sitting at Matthew's Dickey, and then it switches into some footage of Union Station with that stadium facade. I'm just tired of it. I need new renderings. All right, five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville, universitygreenville.edu.
All right, let's take a short time out, broadcasting live from Schnucks in Gravois Bluffs. They brought out some deli meats.
Little smoked Gouda, maple ham from Boar's Head.
Oh,
individually packaged for all of us.
Very nice.
I feel like I'm on a field trip.
This is nice. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.